This radio program comes to you thanks to millions of men in uniform, Americans fighting overseas. The Treasury Salute. This is a program of the United States Treasury, your Treasury, reminding you for the fifth time in this war, you serve and save when you buy war bonds. And you salute with us a hero of this war, Technical Sergeant Forrest Vossler of Livonia, New York, who has won the Congressional Medal of Honor. Here is your narrator of this Treasury salute, Barry Kroger, with David Brookman and the Treasury Orchestra. Mr. Kroger.
Thank you. I have a story about a youngster who was only 20 years old, who went to work as a drill press operator when he got out of high school, who enlisted in the Air Corps in October of 1942, and is now lying in an Army hospital in Butler, Pennsylvania. Listen to this story of an American boy, Technical Sergeant Forrest Vossler of Livonia, New York. Forrest Vossler spent his first Army days at Fort Niagara, was processed and classified as a radio operator in Atlantic City, and was trained to his skill at Scottfield, Illinois. Gunnery he learned at Harlingen, Texas, and he joined the crew of his flying fortress at Piote, Texas. I'm going to let his crew members introduce themselves.
My name is Merrill. I'm the pilot. I'm from El Paso, Texas. They call me Chief.
I'm the co-pilot, and they call me Chief, too. I guess the way we tell each other apart is that the crew members have a little bit more respect in their voices when they're talking to Captain Merrill. My name is John Henderson, and I'm from San Francisco, California.
I'm the navigator, Lieutenant Warren Wiggins from Long Island, New York. Call me Shorty.
I'm Staff Sergeant Henry Buskey of Rochester, New York. I'm tail gunner.
I'm Staff Sergeant Ed Ruppel, a ball turret gunner. Jersey City, New Jersey's where I'm from. I guess that's why they call me Jersey.
I'm the engineer, Tech Sergeant Bill Simpkins from Egg Harbor, New Jersey. Guys from Egg Harbor, what they gonna call him? That's right, Eggie.
I'm the waist gunner, Sergeant Ralph Burkhart from Toledo, Ohio.
And I'm up in the top turret gun, Sergeant Stanley Moody from Lewiston, Maine.
Eight men from Maine to California, and the ninth was Sergeant Forrest Vossler. In Dalhart, Texas, these nine men climbed into their flying fortress and started the trip east, ferrying their machine to England, where they had a little business to do. Nine men in a fortress which they called the Jersey Bounce. First they went to Bremen and dropped some little mementos down on that seaport. Then they went to the Ruhr Valley to have a look at German industry and see what they could do about slowing it up some. They liked that trip, went back a second time. That made three trips in all over Germany. Then they went on a fourth trip, back to Bremen again. The whole bunch of them were feeling pretty good that day. As radio operator, Forrest Vossler looked at his log, where he'd written first on watch and noted the time. Under that, he had written the minute they took off. Under that, he had noted at what time they hit the oxygen. There were other notations in the log. It set down the instant they got to the channel, and a few minutes later, the instant that they crossed the German coast. That was their point of rendezvous. Now Sergeant Vossler is noting that the Jersey Bounce is going upstairs to 24,000 feet to pick up its fighter escort.
P-38 Lightning. Spitfires at 4 o'clock. Here come the Thunderbolts. And what's wrong with the Hell's Angels? Looks like they feathered a prop. They're sticking in formation. No Nazis around, are there?
All clear so far.
Where the dickens are some Nazis? They're unfair. Unfair to all gunners bucking for the air medal. Get a sign, walk up and down. Unfair. Pilot to crew. Pilot to crew. Flak up ahead.
No Nazi fighters upstairs as they approach Bremen. The Luftwaffe's wings are clipped. Only flak. But the flak was heavy enough. Heavy enough.
Hey, boss.
Roger, Chief.
Take a letter. Port outboard motor, head and prop feathers.
Roger.
Sergeant Foster makes a note in his radio log. Notes the time down carefully.
Pilot to Bombardier. Come in, Bill.
Go ahead, Chief.
You all set?
Any time.
The Bombardier sets his drift on the sight, plus his true altitude and true airspeed. Prepares to line up the crosshairs on the target assigned him hours ago. He and the pilot switch their earphones over to command to get any orders given out from the lead plane. Every bomb run always seems like ours.
Hey, Bill.
Steady. Steady. Bombs away.
The flak above Bremen was murderous that morning. All around the Jersey bounce, the German metal exploded and whined. The plane bucked and tossed high in the air above Bremen. The men in the Jersey bounce cursed and laughed, hung on, swore some more as they were jolted out of their breath.
Starboard inboard motor, crippled by flak. Make a note, Boss.
Roger, Chief.
The Jersey bounce was flying on only two motors now, losing altitude fast and losing ground swiftly. Gradually, she slipped out of formation. Now the danger. Now the fear of Nazi fighters, ready, alert to pounce on any flying fortress that looks crippled, that has slipped out of the protecting group, the zone of fire that Goering's fighters have learned to respect.
Here they come. ME-110s at 5 o'clock. Walker Wolf's at 8 o'clock. Walker Wolf's at 6 o'clock.
ME-110's at 10 o'clock.
The first wave of German fighters poured shot and shell into the Jersey bounce all around and into the radio compartment. Sergeant Forrest Vossler was hit and blinded by an explosive 20-millimeter cannon shell. His radio equipment was wrecked. Sergeant Vossler, blinded, in great pain, lost consciousness. As the running battle continued, Sergeant Vossler regained consciousness for a moment. Could hear the warning shouts coming over the interphone.
Boss! Hey, Boss! Get those six coming in at 9 o'clock. Boss! Mark a Wolf on your side.
Blindly, Sergeant Vossler groped for his gun and fired it in irregular bursts. He couldn't see, but he knew that the firing of his gun would keep the Focke Wolfs from coming too close in his direction. He knew the Nazi fighters would see the gun winking at them in action and would keep their distance. Then the pain would close over Forrest Vossler in a great black wave, and he would sink again to the floor of his compartment. For half an hour, the running battle continued, until at last they broke free out over the North Sea. But still, the Jersey bounce was losing altitude.
Pilot to crew, we got to throw everything overboard that's movable. We're losing too much altitude. Throw out everything you can so we can make the channel.
Chief, Foster, the pilot, I'm going over myself.
Bart, are you crazy?
I got to, Chief, I got to.
Eggy, pilot to Eggy.
Roger, Chief.
Get up to Foster and hold him in.
Chief, I'm hurt anyway. I'm a dead pigeon. You need the weight off the plane anyway. What's the use?
Eggy! He can't hear you, Chief. He left his earphones back in the tail. He's up at Fosler already. Tell him to tie that crazy guy down if he has to.
You okay now, Voss?
Yeah, it's okay, Eggy. It's okay. But I just thought of something.
What now?
I just remembered. We gotta fix this radio if we're gonna tell anybody where we are. We dump in the channel.
You tell me what to do. I'll do it.
I'll get back in the tail yard, Bird. I can do it faster alone than by telling you what to do. You'd break it.
Blind though he was and in agony, Sergeant Forrest Vossler fixed the radio emergency equipment and gave out the SOS signals with the Jersey Bounce's call letters. Three SOS calls, then the call letters, then the notification that they're ditching in the channel. Same process again. Same process again.
Pilot to crew, prepare to ditch. We're going in.
Vossler stuck to his position. Three SOS calls, then the call letters, then the brief announcement that they were crashing in the channel. Again and again. Then he held down his radio key so that stations in England could get a fix on them. Pain was over him like a sword. His eyes stared bloodily and blankly in the direction of his emergency equipment, seeing nothing. Then the Jersey bounce crashed on the choppy channel waves.
Hey, Don't they get buzzed back in the tail? He's hurt.
Come on, kid. What about you? You've had enough.
Got to get Buzz. He's hurt bad. Can't move. Hurry.
Raft off. Throw it off, dope.
Life raft clear.
Where's Voss? Where's that guy Voss that was going to throw himself out?
Back getting Buzz out of the tail.
Can someone give me a hand? I can't.
Here you are, kid.
Step out of the plane, Voss. You dope. It's going to sink any second. Come on, jump.
Sorry, Chief. You'll have to give me a hand. I can't see.
Oh, sorry, huh? Here.
I got the radio calls out, Chief. I got the radio calls out. They should know where we are.
Okay. Shut up now, see? Just keep your mouth shut, and I'll give you some dope. You'll feel better in no time at all.
The plane sank in 1 minute. All the crew, the tail gunner, thanks to Forrest Vossler's efforts, were safe on the life raft. And thanks to Vossler's success in getting his emergency equipment working while blind, within a half hour, the crew had been transferred to a British PT boat and were on their way to a hospital. Sergeant Forrest Vossler is back in this country now. Here in America, doctors are working on him. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for his fourth raid over Europe, his fourth mission, his last. The doctors hope that Forrest Vossler, now 20 years old, may be able to see again sometime soon.
Just 20 years old, and he may never see again. Never see the country for which he gave so much. In the face of such heroism, is there any American who can possibly say no to the fifth Wallone drive? Is there any sacrifice too great to make to show those men that we, here at home, are backing them up? They offer their lives and more. We lend our money. So dig down and dig down deep. Tighten your belt. Scrape your pocketbook. The zero hour is here. The history of the whole world may hang in the balance, and we've got to buy more bonds. Our government says this may be the greatest financial effort we'll ever be called upon to make. The goal is $6 billion from individuals alone. That means you. And it means now. Don't let those men down. Back the attack. Buy double the war bonds you bought before. The United States Treasury thanks Barry Kroger, Larry Haynes, Myron McCormick, and the other distinguished artists who appeared on this specially transcribed program. The Treasury Salute was written by Peter Lyon and directed by Paul Stewart. The music was composed and conducted by David Brookman. This is Ben Grauer speaking.